join us for an encouraging word from our senior pastor, Greg Thurstenson. Here's the message.
Just a moment, I'll read from verse 3. It is good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. We, this year, celebrated for a couple of weeks a staycation. We did not stray very far. We made it to Houston for a few nights and then spent the rest of the time in Kima with our family, and it's just good to be home with the rest of the family today. So as you're making your way to Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 3, let me also thank Pastor Clint and Renee for doing such a great job last week for leading our Sunday services. We heard nothing but wonderful, wonderful reports. I heard that there was a sight of Renee smiling last week. Is this so? Is this true? Did our keyboard player break out in a smile while praying? Did anybody else see that, or is that just an urban legend that Renee smiled one time during worship? Well, this morning I want to talk about the dry seasons in our life and how God cures them. I want to begin by asking you a question first, and that question is simply, have you ever gone through a dry season in your life, a time that seemed to lack both the presence and the provision of God, a time where it seemed that you were almost lost, felt like everything you did seemed like was cursed, you felt disconnected and disqualified? Have you ever been through a time in your life when you seemed to work but not prosper, sleep but not rest, eat but never get full? If so, this morning's teaching might be for you. Dry seasons, we all have them from time to time, and it's important to recognize how God uses them to achieve his purposes. Webster's describes a dry season as a drought. He uses two definitions. He says a drought is a period of dryness, especially when prolonged, specifically one that causes extensive damage to crops or prevents their successful growth. He says, secondly, that a drought is a prolonged or chronic shortage or a lack of something expected or desired. I think most of us can relate to those definitions. I think many times we find ourselves in life on the wrong end of a shortage, and it seems like the something we've been expecting, the something we've been praying, the something we've been desiring, it seems to be slow in coming. And over a period of time, because it doesn't come, we begin to believe it's not coming as a result of somehow our faith lacking. I'm so glad that in those seasons, though, God has a cure in his word. We begin this morning looking at the cure in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 3. In Isaiah 44 and verse 3, according to the New International Version, it says, I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. Let's take just a moment and pray. I'm going to use this passage of scripture to guide my prayer for us. Heavenly Father, as we bow our hearts, we bring our lives to you. And in the places where we're dry and thirsty, we ask that you would pour your water. Oh God, take the dry ground in our life and cause a stream to well up and to saturate it. God, we ask that you would not just pour out your living water over us and on us, but God, you would pour your spirit out on our offspring, that you would bless our descendants, that you would cause an earth-shaking revival to take place in this church and this community in the next generation's heart, that you would cause the young adults and the young people to fill the house of God like never before, and as they fill the house, may you settle upon them a spirit of your blessing, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Recently, we've been looking at a dry season in the life of Israel, a time that caused extensive damage, prevented growth, and ended up costing an entire generation of people the promises of God. We looked at and saw that rather than walk in obedience, they chose to live in a wilderness of prolonged shortage. And in doing so, they set themselves up to live in a chronic state of lack. If you're just joining us, then let me remind you where we've been. I've been encouraging us to see the importance of standing on the word that God has spoken over our life. Has anyone in this room had God speak a word over your life through something or someone? I want you to just raise your hand and hold it up for just a moment. Do you recognize this room as you look around it is filled with people who have their hands raised? And with that hand raised, they're saying that God has spoken something over their lives. And not just over their life, but for their lives. My hope is as you raise your hand, that you raise your heart and in this season recognize that it's time for us to take possession of the things that God has promised and spoken over our lives. Because what we raised our hand and said, God has spoken over, God has said that is a promise, and that promise is yes and amen. And if it's all the same to you, I'm ready for God to do something extraordinary beginning right now. Therefore, because we've been praying God and asking for Him to do something extraordinary, this has been a season of getting uncomfortable. And as we started our series, we began in Deuteronomy chapter 1. And as we opened up the book of Deuteronomy, we found that Moses was speaking here to all of Israel. He's speaking in the 40th year on the first day of the 11th month after their exodus from Egypt. We learned that they were delivered from something, and it's time for them now to recognize in 10 days what that something they've been rescued for. God doesn't just take us out of something to leave us in a wilderness. God had given them 10 days to get their act together. Turn to your neighbor and tell them it's your turn. You got 10 days. He gave them 10 days. He brought them out of something so that in those 10 days he could get them ready to bring them into something. Their disobedience turned that into 40 years, 11 months, and one day of wandering. And it's in this day that Moses stands and begins to remind them and proclaim to them all that the Lord commanded. He did this by reminding them of what the Lord had told them at Mount Horeb. He said, "You've stayed here long enough. Break camp, cross the Jordan River, and go into the promised land of Canaan." Then the next week, we move from the book of Deuteronomy to the first part of Joshua. We're in chapter 1. We see that God's people are still living. That's a good sign. Turn to your neighbor. Are you still living? It's not too late. It may seem too late, but the fact that you're still living says there's still time for the promises of God, which are yes and amen, to come to pass in your life. So the fact that you're still living is a good sign. God's people are still living, and yet they're still living in a wilderness of lack and shortage. There's one problem, though. The man that had reminded them of everything God had promised them has now died. Moses has passed away. And with his death, it represents the ending of one season, and yet, with hope, the beginning of another season. It's the beginning of an era, a new time, a new culture, a new vision, and a new way of doing things. Sometimes you and I see something that we lose in life, or we walk through a season of loss, and we see something that was very precious to us, or someone very precious to us die and pass away. And too often we allow ourselves to die in that loss. And we begin to live in that place of shortage, in that place of lack. We begin to live in a wilderness, a desert, to where we wake up every day not to live life a little more, but to die a little bit more. We don't recognize that with every loss, there is a potential gain. With everything that would be called death, there is the hope of new life and new beginnings. And that's what God is saying through the life of Moses passing away. He's saying that the old way of doing things, the old mindsets, the old methods, and the old strategies that used to work in the wilderness are not going to continue to work where they're headed to the promised land, because God is about to do something new. I love how God uses His word to reassure us when He's about to do something new. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 16, is a very familiar passage of Scripture. Because in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 16, we see something that the Lord is saying. Verse 16 reads, "This is what the Lord says, 'He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and the reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and the streams in the wasteland.'" I think it's wise of us to look back and see all of the different things that God has brought us through. God has a pretty good track record. And many times before He moves us forward and calls us to get uncomfortable, He'll first give us an opportunity to look back and to draw confidence from all of the different things that He has brought us through. That ought to be enough to move every one of us into just a few moments of putting our hands and our hearts together and praising Him for being faithful, for being the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because a lot of us this morning are sitting in the middle of answered prayers. Some of us are holding newborns that the doctor said we would never have the ability to give birth to, but going on about 2 weeks of sleepless nights, we now see the power of answered prayer. Some of us remember a day a doctor told us we couldn't heal from that. We would never be able to lift our arms any higher than this. I remember the day Jay Reynolds walked in to one of our youth ministry service and told us that report of the Lord. But when I look and I see a man back here with his hands raised, work with me, Jay. When I see his hands raised, both his right and his left hand raised, that tells me God is faithful. And when the enemy comes in like a flood and comes against us with the chariots of a Pharaoh, of an army that looks impossible to defeat, that God will do more in one moment than a doctor could, than the enemy could in a lifetime. And sometimes God reserves the right to have us look back and see that He is bad. He is God. He is the same yesterday, today and forever, that the enemy can't vote him in and the enemy can't take him out. So sometimes when we look back and God causes us to see all of the answers to prayer, it's His way of saying, stick around and see what I'm about to do. It's His way of saying, see this that I did in your past? You ain't seen nothing yet. What I'm about to do is going to pale in comparison to what I've done. I've lived my whole life like that. I can never remember waking up saying, God, would you do something less today? You've been mighty in the past, but man, that's just got to be a heavy load on you, Lord. And I hate to wear you and the angels out. So, Lord, do little things in my life today. Don't heal me, Lord. Just make me feel a little better. I've never prayed like that. I hope you haven't. If you are, stop. I live like I have forever. I dream like I have forever. But I live today as if it's my last. And so I have to pray big, believe big, and see God do big things today. Because it may be the last chance for God to do it in my life. So I want you to scoot up in your chair for just a moment and take the next 60 seconds and pray some big things. I want you to look back and think about the big things God has already done. And then I want you to prophesy over your life and declare, I ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. Now take the next 60 seconds and scoot up to the front of your chair. Because when we bought those chairs about 10 years ago, we bought the whole chair for you to use. So I want you to use the front part. I want you to pretend like you're on the front, in the front chairs of the roller coaster you're fixing to go on. You're climbing, you're tracking to the top, and you're about to have your stomach in your mouth when you drop. Because on the other side of this drop is going to be something only God could do, and it's going to be extraordinary. 60 seconds, pray big, ready, set, go. We're 15 seconds in, and I can only hear three people praying big. Pray big. He wants to do extraordinary. He's not limited. Now for the next 60 seconds, let's praise the Lord as if He just did it. This is what faith looks like. You are setting your appetite. You are setting your appetite You are setting your environment, you are setting your atmosphere to unlimited. I go to a church where God is not limited. I go to a church where people still get saved, delivered, and healed. I go to a church where people every Sunday get set freed of addictions and affections. Because God's not limited there. I've been asking God to make my back better. I'm just going to ask God to give me a brand new backbone right now. This one's going to have a spine in it. It's going to be able to tell my kids yes and no. Oh, I know we just went past our minute of praise, but I think there's more praise in your tank than you knew was there. When you enter his courts with praise, he enters your situation with power. More power. It's time for some home improvement. More than a TV show, it's a spiritual act. Oh God, I've been sitting back every Sunday waiting. But faith doesn't wait, faith works. Faith without works is dead. My faith is working, my praise is working. Some overtime. I don't usually praise the Lord like this in church. I'm kind of a quiet, reserved person. I sit back and there's nothing wrong with that. But my destiny, his design lies on the other side of the impossible and crossable thing in my life. You can be seated. We had gone to Houston and we were able to spend a few days just enjoying each other's presence, and we started talking about one of the dreams in our heart, and I started telling Dina something that I knew she already had the amen for. We've always dreamed of having a small place like on the beach or the lake where we could just retreat to and go for seasons of sabbaticals where we would be able to write sermons and write songs and just have a place to take our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. It'd just be a sanctuary. And I just began to hear the Spirit of the Lord speak to me in a powerful way. And he just encouraged me to ask him for that. And I was kind of talking to the Lord like we all do. And isn't it amazing how you can be in an elevator with five other people going down and not even realize anybody's in the elevator with you and have a full conversation with God without opening your mouth? Because I was telling the Lord how restful it was to be in the hotel and how relaxing it was. And I said, Lord, man, if we just had a beach house to do this in, it would just be wonderful. And I heard the Lord say, you have not because you ask not. So I started asking. I'm just telling you, God wants us to ask for things that matter to him. The Bible says in Psalms 37, to delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Some of you have desired to be angry, and so you walk around mad all the time, and God's given you that. No, it's not how it works. God gives you what to desire. God's desires are different than our desires, but God gives us what to desire. So in due season, he can give us the desire, that desire. As I was talking to the Lord, that's what he was saying to me, was that, Greg, I placed that desire in Dina. I placed that desire in you. That's my desire in you. That's my desire for you. I want to be extraordinary in your life. I want you to push past mediocre, average, and ordinary. I want you to live an extraordinary life. And so with that, I said, Lord, does the jet ski come with the beach house? We go back to his word, and we recognize that before God does the new thing in our life, God first leads us to a place that he uses to wash off and cleanse us of the old things. Go with me to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1. Again, before God does the new thing, he first leads us to a place that in that place, he uses that place to cleanse us and to wash off the old things. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from the acacia grove and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel," and notice, "they lodged there." We read further and find they lodged there for 3 days before they crossed over. After 40 years, the people of God are now standing at the river of God. This river, this Jordan River, would be a river of destiny for them. They would make a new history in their families by crossing it. They would break the yoke of dysfunction. They would break the yoke of everything that had been breaking them and their family for years and years and years, causing those families to live in a wilderness. Let's take just a moment and remind ourselves what rivers in Scripture often symbolize. Rivers in Scripture often symbolize God's presence and His Spirit. Psalms 1 says, beginning in verse 1, that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit, that bringeth forth his fruit in a season. How many of you know, I was not, when I was made in the image of God, I was not given a King James tongue. I was given a New International Version tongue, but I still trieth to readeth it. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall do what? Prosper. Now let's go to John chapter 7. Again, we're looking at what rivers in Scripture symbolize. They often symbolize God's presence and his Spirit. John 7 says in verse 37, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers." Shall what? Where, from where? Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Here we see the Holy Spirit is that flowing river of life within each of us. And then let us go to the book of Revelation, chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22 says, beginning in verse 1, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of nations." Oh, that this church would be known for its river, the river of his presence that freely flows through the middle of its worship, through the middle of its times in the altar, through its small groups, through its Bible studies, through its preaching, through its teaching. May we be known as a church that the river of God flows through, that it would bear 12 manner of fruits, that it would yield fruit every month, and that the leaves on the trees that are beside that river would yield healing for the nations. I believe we're in that kind of church. And I believe that God, just as he authored a desire, which to some might have seemed somewhat silly and carnal, for my wife and I to have a beach house. I believe we all have desires that sometimes may seem more natural than spiritual, but there are also times in the natural that we need spiritual things like divine health and divine healing. Oh, that we might recognize that there is indeed a river that flows through this ministry and this church, and that beside this river are trees that even now are filled with leaves, that those leaves are filled with healing. That just as we took a couple of minutes to praise the Lord, We're going to now take a few moments to ask the Lord for the desire he's put in our heart, the desire for healing. Whatever the healing is that you need in your body, your life, or your family, I want you now for the next 60 seconds to pick some leaves from the trees of God's presence and begin to believe God right now for your healing by asking for him to give you that desire, because he placed that desire for healing in you. Now give him that desire. 60 seconds. God, heal me. I ask for you to heal my body. Replace my knees right now in Jesus' name. Replace the discs in my back. God, I'm ready to put Nasonex out of business. Heal me of my allergies. God, I ask you, you are my healer. Heal my marriage. Only you know what's in the river of our marriage, what hides beneath the surface of our smiles and are assuring everybody that everything's fine. Heal my physical body. Heal my emotions, because damaged people damage people. I'm damaged. I'm deadly. Don't even realize it. God, I just ask for your healing. Now for the next 60 seconds, Lord, I'm going to praise you like I just got healed. I praise you, Lord, like I got healed. Lord, I just, by faith, I praise you. I enter your courts with praise, and you've entered my body with power. I speak to things that be not as though they are. I'm in a church that believes and depends on divine healing. It's out of the doctor's hands, and it's in yours, God. You are the great physician. You are the chief surgeon. I believe it right now in Jesus' name. I'm going to see the new thing right now in my praise. That's what praise does. Praise sees now the new thing. The New Testament also uses rivers to symbolize the salvation of God, the life and the power of God, and the Holy Spirit's work of cleansing and impartation. John chapter 3 says in verse 5, according to Jesus, who answers and says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." In John chapter 4, Jesus again answers and says, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him." I'm going to come back to that in a moment. But the water that I shall give him shall be where? In him. A well of water springing up into everlasting life. Let's go back to our story. Let's go back to Israel, finally breaking camp. God leads them to a place before crossing over that they would spend 3 days lodging. They weren't just lodging at the river called Jordan. They were lodging at the river of God's presence. This word lodge in the original language means to stop and to stay for a length of time, to lie down and to stay still, to patiently remain and tarry. This is where I believe Dominion Church is. I believe we have broken camp. And I believe we have been led by God to a season, a short season, that is symbolic of the 3 days that they were told to lodge. And in this season, we are to stop and stay for only a length of time. We are to lie down, to stay still, to tarry, and to patiently remain at the river of God's presence. Because the Jordan River isn't really a natural river of beauty. In fact, it's a very dirty river. We'll talk a little bit about Naaman and how it disgusted him to have to be baptized for his healing in this dirty, nasty river. But today we're going to look at the fact that this site that wasn't so beautiful in the natural was used supernaturally in the spirit. The Jordan River was filled with his power. His power. God's power to wash, to cleanse, to heal, and to make fruitful. They were encouraged to drink deeply of this water. When God is doing something new in our lives, the greatest need is not going to be in our doing, it's going to be in our lodging. Typically, what we want to do is get out and do something. But before we do something great, we must first become someone great. John chapter 3 and verse 30 says, I must decrease that he might increase. Philippians 1 and 21 says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. This is a season of allowing God to increase his presence, increase the areas, enlarge our tent by allowing him to have more of it. It's a time of surrender. You see, in this season of lying still, of being patient, of tarrying, God is teaching us not leadership, but the gift of fellowship. Before he teaches us to cross over and how to cross over impossible, uncrossable things, he first wants to teach us how to camp out in his presence. Psalms 27 says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalms 46 says in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. Look around. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of is our refuge. Selah, or think about it. Now, I've asked you to participate this morning, and I do not apologize. In fact, I come to ask you to participate again. I want you to begin to prophesy. You've praised and you've learned that when we enter his courts with praise, he enters our circumstance with power. Now it's time for us to speak to things that be not as though they are, and to prophesy and declare, the Lord is with us. I'm glad he stuck that word heathen in, because sometimes we think we are so far away from God that he can't get close to us, and yet he says to the heathen, be still. Calm down, chill out. I'm about to go public with you and use you in a way you've only dreamed of. I'm about to do something extraordinary that only I can do in your life. So let's take 60 seconds now. You didn't know you were going to take 6 minutes of this morning's sermon and be a part. Here's minutes 5 and 6. Now prophesy and declare the Lord is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Begin to declare that, whatever you need. The Lord is my peace. The Lord is my shield. The Lord is my advocate. The Lord is my peace, my strength, my hope, my healing. Prophesy, the Lord is with me. The Lord has not failed me. I am not disqualified. I am not disconnected. I am not dismayed. I am not defeated. I'm an overcomer. I'm a conqueror. Because the Lord thy God is with us. The Lord thy God is with me, and if the Lord be with me, then who can be against me? Now a little bit louder so those around you can hear what's being prophesied. So if they're not sure, they'll know now with confidence the Lord is with us. He's not left us. He's not forsaken us. He's not forgotten us. It just feels that way during dry seasons when we can't explain or figure out what's going on. Now set your praise according to the reality that he's watching, he's listening, he's with us. He's walking the aisles of our heart, he's walking the aisles of our lives. There is none like him. Oh yeah, the Lord's here this morning. Wake up that praise, oh sleepyhead. Roll out of that bed. Don't hit that snooze button one more time. It is time for your faith to be activated. It's time for you to be awakened. It's time for you to recognize this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that in the last days the young men shall see, the young men shall dream, the old men shall not stop dreaming, but they'll have visions too, and there will be a Spirit of the Lord poured out. I close. Closing number one. I close it with Scripture because there's no greater authority than His Word. Lodging in His presence is God's cure for the dry seasons in our life. Psalms 32 says in verse 4, "For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely, in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance." Psalm 63 says, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary." Where? You're in the right place at the right time, and in just a moment, you're going to be doing the right thing. "So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My neighbor's lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands. I will lift up in your name, and my lips." See, here's the thing. Too often we spend our time looking for God to magically open up the heavens above us when all along He has supplied the river of His presence and His power within us. It's time for us to lift up our hands and open up our lips and open up the heavens and the river within us. Excuse me, my lips have got some business to take care of. My hands have a place to go. I got all dressed up to come to the sanctuary, and I was so glad they said to me, "It's Sunday, let me go to the house of the Lord." So excuse me, while my lips talk to the Lord. Excuse me while my lips talk to the Lord. Excuse me while my hands get up in the heavens and start opening up some supernatural possibilities. Excuse me while I don't take this battle laying down any longer. Excuse me, my praise has a place to go. Excuse me, I know I was kind of waiting for a little casual, comfortable conclusion to this morning's service, but what I didn't realize was that my outcome is based on my appetite, and I am tired of seeing the same old mountain. I'm tired of going around the same old thing. I am ready to break camp. I am ready to cross over, but first, I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go and lodge in the sanctuary of God's presence, for in the presence of God is the river of His power and the river of His possibility." And so I must get in that river and begin to drink deeply, for all that matters to me lies in the balance of my next drink, my next breath, and my next praise. It's all I can do to stay seated this morning, because my healing lies in the balance of my praising, my breakthrough lies in the balance of my blessing. It all now has been put in my hands, and it's out of the enemy's hands, because I'm in the sanctuary of God's presence, and I've been thirsty for far too long. But God is in the house, and God is in the place, and I must praise the Lord.
Yamaha Nanda.
Therefore, I declare over my children that your season of weeping is over. Weep no more. For the weeping that you've endured for the night has now given way to the joy found in this morning. Declare to that which is around you that he who is within you is greater. Declare that the clock has changed, the time has turned, and the season of mourning and weeping has given way to a season of new beginnings and of praising and dancing in my presence. This is that day that I say for my people to shake off the heavy bands of your past, to shake off your discouragement, your defeatedness, and the things that you have listened to that you have allowed to disqualify you. For I say that this is the day that my promise for you is still yes, and it is still amen. So find your faith, stand to your faith, and recognize this is my awakening. And just as I led my people then, I will lead you now. And I have reserved for each of you a place at the river. So let every one of you that has a breath praise me, for I inhabit the praises of my people. Allow me in that I might change that which is on the outside of thy life by first rearranging those things that the enemy has devoured on the inside. For this shall be a season of renewal, refreshing, and restoration. So praise me. Let's just praise him. 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 Praise has been the word for the day that God over and over has come back to in so many different ways. As we stand to our feet this morning to dismiss, I want to make sure that each and every one of us recognize that each of us having the opportunity to make Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior is the priority of this church. And this morning, if you're here and you've never taken that opportunity to ask the Lord into your life, to ask the Lord into your heart, this is that opportunity. This is that chance for you to bow your head, and as we conclude our prayer, you begin your journey. This will be the moment that you can invite the Lord to come into your life and to save you for the first time. And then, like many of us, you'll ask him to continue to save you the next time and the next time and the next time. I'm glad that he is a Savior that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm going to lead you in that prayer. And with confidence, you can begin your journey. After our service, we're going to encourage you to make your way back to these doors on my right and your left into the cafe area, because there you'll be able to meet our team, and we're going to give you some very important parts of your journey, some important information that you'll need to connect to him and to connect to us. But before us goes anywhere, I just want to say to you as a church that I believe our appetite determines our outcomes. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I encourage you to begin to come hungry, hungrier than you've ever been before. I encourage you to come to church thirsty like you've never been before. It's the spirit of expectancy that creates the environment for the miraculous to function. And too often we leave that expectancy up to someone else. But I realize for my own life and for our life now that we are interconnected. We are knit together. We are a family. And that our miracles lie in the balance of each other's connection. We've got to come hungry and thirsty because God wants to fill. He wants to press down. He wants to shake together until it's just messy. There's so much God in this place, it's messy. You have to come even earlier to sit in the back than you do now, because the room's so full. How many of you will just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'll join you. I'll come hungry and thirsty. I'll come expecting God to do a miracle today. No more layaway Christianity. Today, let's each of us invite the Lord into our heart in this prayer as we dismiss. Lord Jesus, as a sinner, I ask you into my heart. Come in like it's the very first time. Make all things new in me. Remove the old things. And with your grace, cause them to pass away. Forgive me of my sins and my life of unrighteousness. From this day forward, I commit myself to you. Not to just be a Sunday Christian, but to be a disciple. I believe in you that you died on a cross for me. That 3 days later, you resurrected. That I too might be resurrected. I will use all my days to now go public and to proudly tell others that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Have a great day and know that football season is back.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.